So with Hanukkah in the air, I figured I'll do a topic about Hanukkah. And I think the topic that I picked, something very interesting in the halachas of Hanukkah that we don't really have directly pointed out by other halachas. And that is the halachas of Hanukkah b'shas sakana. I'll elaborate what exactly that means. We entitled the shiur "The Mitzvah of Menorah in an Anti-Semitic World." And unfortunately, the time we are living in, just a couple weeks ago, there was an attack on the Jewish community in Jersey City. And this, unfortunately, is a trend that was somewhat getting numb. Unfortunately, you want to use the words getting used to. Here in America, we had an attack on the synagogue in Pittsburgh, attack inside the shul in Poway, San Diego, and now an attack on the Jewish community, a very clear Jewish community, according to intelligence reports, it doesn't seem that the prime target was just a little Jewish grocery, but rather the shul next door, which people were just davening mincha in the middle of the day. On top of that shul was the community's cheder, which had 40, 50 children sitting and learning. That was the true target of these murderers who were loaded with ammunition, with a bomb. And it's very disheartening. You look at the stats, the amount of anti-Semitic crimes. You know, even in majorly Jewish populated cities like New York, the amount of crimes that have been risen over the past even few months, really the broader picture, past few years, is a scary trend. And it's something we have to acknowledge, something we have to know. On the one hand, you can look at the Jewish world, look how big we are, look how powerful we are. I was by an event last night where President Trump's envoy to Israel, Jason Greenblatt, was on stage speaking to hundreds of people. Jews have, Baruch Hashem, tremendous positions, prominence, prosperity here in America. But we can never forget that the halachas of Esav Sona Es Yaakov, anti-Semitism is something, it's part of Golos.
Rabbi, that trend has increased throughout all aspects of population America, though, from homosexuals to Greeks to you name it.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. In my daily share, I have what I call the 5-minute rule. The 5-minute rule is the first 5 minutes of share.
That's all I have.
You can't stop. Okay. I'll hold you to your words. So there are halakhas which pertain to how a Jew goes about his way in Galus. We're living in Galus, it's part of the exile, and there are specific halakhas, perhaps one should abide by. One famous idea is, should one wear a talis in the street? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, was known to say that he did not think that a Jewish person in America, or for that matter anywhere in Galus, should be walking down the street in a secular neighborhood wearing a talis, which is quite a phenomenon. You do look in from communities, you do see many people walking down the streets with talisim. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's opinion was that one should not wear it. In fact, recently I tracked down, it's not just Rav Yaakov, you can date it back to Magen Avraham. And the concept, look, a talis is a clear religious artifact, something we use for tefillah. There's no chiv to wear a talis in the street, no such thing. And for a Jew to sort of parade down the street in a talis, that itself, you might be asking for goyim to look at you, goyim to sneer at you. And Rabbi Yaakov would speak against it. I know of a Rav in a community, actually not so far from here, that begs his community, his congregants, do not walk in the middle of the street on Shabbos. Again, no iser to walk. I mean, when a car is coming, there might be sakanas nefashos. But he says you shouldn't walk down the middle of the street on Shabbos. First of all, you know, granted, if there are a lot of Jewish people in the neighborhood, so you know, in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, there are many streets which are Shomer Shabbos, and you could walk down the middle of the street on Shabbos. But this isn't Eretz Yisrael, this is America, and we are living amongst Goyim, and just to walk in the middle of the street gives off an impression that we own the place. And yeah. And these are different acts. You have to balance. What is the outer role of a Jew in Galus? Should we be performing mitzvos, walking with talisim down the street? I remember years ago, my Rebbe, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, I'm sure post 9/11, really asked the Shaila to Rav Yoshev, should we be having a Siyum HaShas inside a stadium? Is that too much of a display? Is that itself too dangerous for one to do? All Jews, have so many Jews gathered together. It's a Shiloh coming up in the next few weeks. Rav Yoshev felt it was okay. But Lamaisa, all these things are topics we have to think about. And we might have to change our perspective vis-a-vis the rising tides of anti-Semitism. I believe even in France. France, as people know, is the third biggest Jewish community in the world. Behind America and Israel, the other biggest country that houses Jews is France. And it's become common now. Many, many Jews in France, they will not walk in the streets with a yarmulke. They wear a cap or something else to hide their clear identification as a Jew. Because it's dangerous. Again, does a person have to have a head covering? Yes. But you have to wear that. There's a minute. Of course we keep that. But does one have to do that in a way which is obvious, which could cause problems? It's just not smart. So these are all of adjustments. Yeah, maybe, you know, even people who didn't wear a talis in the who did wear a talis in the street a few years ago, maybe it's time to re-examine. You thought Rabbi Yaakov Kabadetsky's idea didn't apply to Galus? Well, maybe now today it does. And to think about all these things. With that as an introduction, I'd like to talk about the mitzvah of menorah. Now, firstly, there's a mitzvah of menorah, which we know with it is a mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. We're supposed to spread and thank Hashem for the nes, the miracle that He did for us in general in the Jewish salvation at the times of the Greeks, but also the miracle of the menorah, of the Pach Hashem and of the oil. And the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, for clarity, is to spread the mitzvah amongst Jews. There is no mitzvah per sumei nisa to spread it to the goyim. The concept of lighting menorah in some public sphere is not what Chazal are mesakin. They're mesakin spread it amongst Jews. We'll talk a little bit in a shul, one's homes, but it's not to be broadcast, you know, in the middle of a stadium, set the court, that's where we're going to light a menorah. It's not really, there's no such din of pursuing Nisa amongst Goyim. Now, yeah, non-religious Jews, 100%, right? And that might be the reasoning for some people that they want to put it out there, maybe a non-religious Jew, perhaps. But definitely where there aren't Jews found, right? There is no mitzvah of spreading the Nes Chanukah amongst Goyim. The menorah is not really our version of the Xmas tree. Right? Or the lights. Now, the Gemara, though, says a very interesting idea. It's Gemara and Shabbos, right by the beginning of the story, the halachos of Chanukah. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. It's on top of your sheets. Ner Chanukah, mitzvah, nicha, pesach, peso, mibachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to put it outside one's door. Im hayador ba'aliyah, if a person lives on the higher floor of a home, minichu b'chalonos mechalush saradim. Then one puts it by the window, which is close to the public thoroughfare. Uvishas asakana, at a time of danger, minichal shulchano, you could just put in the middle of your home, not by a window, not by the door, just put in the middle of your home on the table, vidayo, and that's sufficient. This is the halacha we're going to zero in on. The halacha that if it's a time of danger, now sakana here, we'll see soon, does not mean someone's putting a gun to your head, because that's poshut. We know, except for the three cardinal averos, we say it's over of al yahara. One is allowed to transgress any prohibition in the Torah not to be killed. Torah expects a Jew to protect his life. So of course, if putting menorah, he'd be threatened. You're living in Tsarist Russia. You're living at a time where they're persecuting Jews. You're living in Iran today. So of course, you don't need the Gemara to tell you in that case that one has to put their menorah inside their home. It's pashut. You know, the stories, the amazing stories you have of heroism, of how you had Jews in the Holocaust lighting a menorah that wasn't done on the windows of the barracks. It was done quietly on the side. So that's pashut. So shasa sakana, the way the Mefarshim and the Rishonim learn, it means simply that the Goyim would give the Jews problems because of it. They would abuse them, they would attack them, they would take away the menorah, they would take away the flames, whatever it is, that's what is included in Shah Sakana. Shah Sakana, it's not Sakana for your life, but it means there's some danger for a Jew to keep the menorah, a danger to the Jew's own body, property, or they would extinguish the flame itself. So in those situations, you say, you know what? Put it inside, put it in the middle of your table, and that's sufficient. It's interesting. What's the next step in the Gemara? Amar Rava, Sarich ner acheres l'shtamish la'ora. You need a shamesh. You need an extra candle to use. This way you'll be able to use the light. So I saw one of the Mefarshim point out that Rava's words are a perfect hemshech, a perfect connection to the Gemara earlier. In the original situation where people are lighting the menorahs outside their homes, you're not going to use it for light. You're inside your house. You have your menorah outside your house. It's only b'shas sakana that now you're bringing the menorah inside your home, and now in your dark lit homes, you have a menorah over there. So there is a fear that you're going to use the light of the menorah for your personal dealings. So that's why you have to have a shamash. No, I'll use the light of the shamash to count my money, to sit and learn, whatever it is. So that's directly connected to this idea of Shah Sakana. But what you see from this Gemara is the basic idea that there's a change in the mitzvah. This is very specific. We don't really have this in too many other cases, where the Torah, the rabbis are prescribing for us that if Jews are living at a time of danger, sort of the mitzvah of Hanukkah changes. Instead of it being outside, now we're going to put it inside. Shasa Sakana, one is allowed to do that. And this is not just the Gemara. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch on your sheets, brings the same idea. Ner Chanukah minicha Pesach hasamach toshes rabim b'chutz. Ideally, you put the menorah by the Pesach to Rosh Hashanah from the outside, which would mean practically, say a person lives in a home, and from his home to the street, he could have a nice amount of grass, a fence. Really, ideally, you shouldn't just put it by your door, your window, by your home. If you're 100 feet away from the street, you should put it by the Pesach, the same place in the summer where you have your mailbox. You put it by the entrance to your gate, the entrance to your property. That's where the menorah should go. If you live in a city, if your house is right there next to the street, then you put it by your door. If one lives on a higher floor, you put it by your window, which is close to the street. Nowadays, posts can talk about, besides the fact, if you put it by your window, people in the street could see, in high-rise buildings, somewhat a parallel high-rise building could see the menorah over there too. Maybe people flying by, depending how high the buildings are. V'shasa sakana, and at a time of danger. And here the Shulchan Aruch spells out clearer. She'ina rashai l'kayim a mitzvah. Again, we're not talking about a case where they're putting a gun to your head. That's pashut. We're here, just don't let you do the mitzvah. They'll abuse you, they'll attack you, they'll take away your menorah, whatever. Me'nichal shulchana, you can just put it on your table, v'dayo. And that's enough. I found a Ramah in his Sefer Darkei Moshe adds, and this is also applicable, is the concept of putting your menorah inside your house, and perhaps even to this matter, even not by a window, is if you live in a neighborhood which is Shriach Geneva, it's very common for people to steal, especially if you have a nice silver menorah. The Darkei Moshe says, this sakana, this heter of sakana, doesn't just apply if there's a threat to you doing the mitzvah. It would also evenly apply if they're going to steal your menorah. If a Jew is afraid that his menorah will get stolen, obviously there's a fine line in this. You can't be crazy, you know. You know, everything else, you let all your Amazon packages go to your door. So, you could do the mitzvah too. But you make sure to install your doorbell camera. But if one would be afraid of Geneva, that also be a reason that you could take your menorah at least inside and put it by a window, right? Let's say in Israel, right? We'll get to that soon. A lot of people do light their menorahs outside their homes. So if one is afraid of the menorah being stolen, in fact, I remember a few years ago, I think there was a chash of a person has a menorah outside, and somehow there's a black market for Chaim Kanievsky's stolen cup and stolen menorah, and people walked off with his menorah. Horrible. So if there's a fear of Geneva, one is allowed to put the menorah, the Darkei Moshe says, inside one's home. I found another interesting halakha connected with this idea of Shas Sakana. What's the concept of lighting a menorah inside a shul? Really, that itself deserves its own share. But just to point out one step. Think about it. By cannot any other mitzvah, there's no concept that we do the mitzvah in shul. A separate mitzvah in shul. I know the gabbai over here is about to tell me, well, what about Kiddush, Friday night in the shul? So first of all, that's a separate, that's what we do for people, unfortunately, that don't have places to go. Not every shul does that. Yeah, there's a good concept. But where do you find a flat-out takana that besides one's personal own mitzvah, we also do it in a shul? There's a shul mitzvah. There's no special shul mitzvah of Dalad Minim, of shaking the four species on Sukkot. There's no special, maybe you have a shul sukkah, but there's no special mitzvah that everyone has to sit in the shul sukkah. The Kiddush on Sukkot, or Shemitah Atzeres, doesn't qualify. But by Hanukkah, there's a special mitzvah to light a menorah in a shul. Why is that? So I found an amazing rivash on the middle of your sheets. He writes, reading from the first wide line, "Delakach madlikin bebeis hakneses." This is the reason why we light in shul. L'persumei nisa, to spread the miracle of Hanukkah. Kivashein anu yachol nekayim mitzvah kitikuna. Since we can't do the mitzvah like ideally it's taught, lahada kolecha bepiskei beis umibachutz. For everyone to light the menorah outside their home, because the goyim have power over us. According to the Rivash, and this is brought in the Beis Yosef, the reason why we have menorah lighting in shul is also it's a special takana made because of the fact we're in Galus, and most Jews can't light the menorah outside. So at least we should have some public presentation, the whole mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, part of it is Persumei Nisa. So if we're going to have to light inside and light by our tables, it's taking away from the Persumei Nisa. Ideally, it should be right there by the street. So to offset that, that's the reason specifically by Hanukkah, Chazal Misakin to light in a shul. Fascinating idea. This is not a well-known rivash. But it's all connected to the idea, if we have to move the menorah inside and we're losing out for more of the public seeing it, they say, we'll offset that, we'll make a takana that will do an inside shul. In fact, I've seen in shuls, different places, they decide, when do you light a menorah? Here in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, at the, you know, the ideal time for hadlaka, a certain amount of time after shkia. So, practically, this year, Shkia here is, what, 5:35? So we light menorah here in Yeshiva, close to 6 o'clock, around 6-ish. So every day, Baruch Hashem, in the middle of Seder, so there are guys here, so we light the menorah, Hizmano, here in Seder, and we meet them go back to learning, and then later, during a break, then they light the menorah. I've seen some shuls, there's a shul member in Queens, their biggest crowd they get is they have like a 10-15 Ma'ariv. So by the 10-15 Ma'ariv, they light menorah, because that's when the most people come into the shul. Right? The purpose of lighting a menorah, then again in the morning, but they'll light it with the brachas. At night is the only time in the shul you light the brachas. So they'll do it at a time you have the most people in shul. Very interesting. But according to the Rivash, that's connected to this idea that in anti-Semitic times, we bring the menorah inside. Yes. Yes. Correct. The pashut idea behind the lighting of the menorah in a shul is some concept of zeichel mikdash. Yes. That is the more generally understood part of the idea. The had different questions about it, matching it up. But according to this Rivash, it's this added concept that we had to change it. Yes?
You're in such a place that you can't put a menorah outside. Why would it then be okay to put like a mezuzah on your door?
Ooh, very good question. He's asking if we're nervous about about a menorah outside, that the Goyim might do something about it. So, what about a mezuzah? And I saw the post talk about that too. And they're different things. You know, obviously mezuzah, you do try putting away. Also, it's a little less obvious. And people may not notice it. But, also not so simple. You know, you definitely, in a situation where a person's mezuzah is getting vandalized and going to taking it, it's tashmishi kedusha. Some ways you have to be more careful about that. You know, chas v'shalom, if something like that is damaged, is attacked, so that's quite dangerous. So. One last application of this. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about, it's also on your sheets, in the middle of the page, that this idea of shas sakana, when there's some danger, so we already saw that shas sakana means, okay, they'll stop a Jew from doing it. We saw the Darkei Moshe applies it even to your menorah potentially getting stolen. The Aruch HaShulchan, amongst others, talk about, nothing's going to happen to your menorah, but let's say it's just a challenge for the mitzvah to be done. For example, I don't know if I have to go to Chicago for this one, but imagine you try lighting a menorah in Chicago in the winter outside. Chicago is called the Windy City, and the odds of your menorah lasting for sure 30 minutes are, I rather bet on the Cubs. Right? Right. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Baruch Hashem, we have people, smart Jews in business, and they make, you know, boxes that, you know, are airtight, they claim.
Once you close them.
And, right. Right? You could probably make a funny video of a Jew trying to, like, you know, light the menorah before the wind gets in, trying to close it, and of course, you know, sliding the door, never working.
No, and then once you close it, the oxygen will just go away.
Oxygen will go away. Oh. We'll have our scientists work on exactly the best box. I don't know if you're going to be able to do the Chicago version, but maybe a less windy city, maybe then you can figure out how to make the best box to put a menorah in. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, that degree of hak, the rabbis did not expect one to go through to light a menorah outside. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, l'halacha, that one would be allowed to light inside just because, forget about the Nogayim, we're living in a nice Jewish block, Jewish neighborhood, Aruch Hashem, no issues. Nevertheless, Aruch HaShulchan says, if it's going to be a wind issue, then one could also light inside. So wind, geneva, are all extensions of the Gemara's idea of shas sakana. So that's, I would say, the background of this halacha. What I would like to do now is get into the understanding of how this halacha makes sense. Now, practically, nowadays we'll start off in Israel. Most people do light outside. A good amount of Jewish people, for sure, you look in Yerushalayim, I've seen, you know, by these little diras, these little apartments that near the mirror that somehow could host 25 guys in like a little room. So you see stacks of menorahs, like from the floor, maybe almost 20 hamos high. Stacks and stacks of menorah, these boxes, one on top of the other. People light outside. In America, we don't. Mostly, if not all people, light their menorahs. We'll talk about the few that don't a little bit later. Light their menorahs inside. They light by a window in their home. And the Post and Goofa talk about that. Why is that? Why is it that we light our menorahs in America, for the most part, inside? Why don't we put it outside? Is it still shas sakana?
is a relatively new Orthodox community.
Yeah.
30 years ago, Flatbush was not the community it was today, and 50 years ago for certain.
Hold on. Right? I lived in Flatbush 30 years ago. It was bigger than it was today.
50 years.
Today.
I'm quoting a Victor Miller from 20 years
ago. Okay, right. He's listening to the older Victor Miller tapes of the 50s.
No, you and I both know America is a relatively 100 years ago.
Yes, in the scheme of Jewish history, the American Golos, and the, in particular, you bring up the New York Golos. Yeah.
It's a relatively new Orthodox.
Yes, thing. But in fact, you know, like...
Very much so.
It's relatively new in the scope of Jewish history, but Rav Moshe Feinstein was writing tshuvas about this 60 years ago. So we've dealt with American issues and the like. And that is one of the questions. Why is it here in America that we do things inside? What's the basis? Furthermore... Huh? Right. I think, I'm too bad Mr. Heaney's not here, different people. I don't know in England what they do. I assume they light inside, not outside. I don't know. In France, I am sure they light inside. No style about that today. What do you want to go? Australia? We had a guy here the other day from New Zealand, right? I'm assuming they all light inside.
I mean, there's pictures all over the place that you can dig up of people that had either they had a picture or it was drawn. Everyone's lighting inside, not in any of these pictures.
Yeah, I think so. But let's ask the question.
I have the question.
Okay. So you think?
And it's kind of the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah.
What's with the Chabad?
Mr. B, did you miss the first 2 minutes? I spoke about it. It's not an elephant in the room. I already let the elephant out of the bag. I'm not here to talk about why different wonderful Jews are very into lighting menorah all on top of their cars. There is a concept. It is nice to spread the nace of Hanukkah to unaffiliated Jews. And we know that those people are quite involved with that. So I assume that's part of their reasoning. But to Goyim, there's absolutely no makar for no such din to spread the menorah to the Miami Heat team. Now... Right, right.
We don't know it's still a car.
Right. Right, that's one thing. You know, unfortunately in Golos, you know, you'll find homes, you know, the most sad sight you can see in Hanukkah is the homes that have, you know, a menorah and a bush. Right? I haven't seen that. I've seen the menorahs on top of cars. I've seen the reindeer on top of cars. I haven't seen a car with reindeer and a menorah yet. So that's a true point.
But, you
yeah. But the question I do want to deal with is, how do we understand, how can we switch a mitzvah? How can we switch a mitzvah? I'll give you an example. Just thought of this now. I'm standing right here. You know, through the times of the Crusades, obviously the Jewish communities around the world had a lot of trouble from our Christian brothers, and to say the least, quite an understatement. And I don't know of, but imagine they would have issues with our taking of a lulav. They're copping our palms. But yeah, let's say they have a problem with us taking our lulavs. Do we switch the mitzvah of lulav? Okay, forget it. It's not a palm branch. We're going to switch to bamboo. Right? We have extra around Sukkot anyway. So instead of taking a palm branch, you know what we'll do? We'll take a shoot of bamboo. We'll shake that instead. Like, that sounds ridiculous. The mitzvah is... to light, the mitzvah is to take a palm branch. We can't swap that mitzvah because the goyim are giving us trouble. They're using palm branches instead take bamboo. It's not the mitzvah. So I saw people wonder, the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is to light, we saw the Gemara, al Pesach Beso. The mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is Persume Nisa. We light menorah to spread the nace of Hanukkah. So if the mitzvah is the Persume Nisa, to light that outside by the door to our home, by the entrance to our alleyway, to our gate, if that's what the mitzvah is, how can we switch the mitzvah? Oh, we're going to bring it inside. It's not a kiddush that you change the location vis-a-vis the weather. We're talking about the performance of a mitzvah. I wouldn't swap a palm branch for a bamboo stick. So how could I switch where to light the menorah? What right do we have to do that? What's the basis for this Gemara? That shasakana, you put it on your door, vidayo, it's good enough. How do we understand that? Yes?
Because in case of lulav, you're not walking around in the street doing lulav. In this, you're literally showing off like what you said about the
top. Okay, that's a good point. Right? My lulav case, maybe that is part of the reason. I don't remember ever hearing in old rabbinic literature, was there ever a challenge for Jews using palm branches? It's a good point. Because lulav we did in the privacy of our shuls. You're right. But menorah, something we're doing outside, that's what getting ourselves in trouble. You're right. But how do we understand menorah? That was just an example.
Hanukkah is also such proximity, particularly this year, to their special holiday.
Right.
And that holiday has been loaded with very, you know, that's one reason people don't study Torah during the day. There's a whole thing with, their big simcha was going.
I'm giving a shiur December 25th. Be there.
Right. No, but you understand what I'm saying. That was someone would get drunk and go beat up some Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their holiday.
Right, right. Yes.
Standing outside is the ideal, but light inside.
Okay, excellent point. Excellent.
What was it?
I'll say it over. So, what this question that I'm asking, how do we understand this halach of Shasakana, really is a window, pun intended, is a window into understanding of what the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah by your window really is. And I saw what you call a classic yeshiva chakira, two ways to look at it. The way I was looking at it, and there's basis to my perspective, Tosfos holds like this, I believe the Rambam holds like this, is that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is Persume Nisa, is to spread the miracle, and it was specifically made for a Jew to light his menorah at the doorway to his home. That is the definition of the mitzvah. It's not just, you know, it's one ideal way to do it. No, that is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is for one to light a menorah by one's doorway. So to bring it inside would be a massive change. How could you do that? However, you could say, like we just suggested, that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, the mitzvah is lighting a menorah. There is also an idea, a mitzvah of Persume Nisa. And for there, the ideal place to do that is by your window, is by your door. But the mitzvah itself is lighting a menorah, even if it means on your table. There's basis for this in both a Rashba and a Ritva. And if you say like this idea, then you very simply answer my question. How is it Shasakana at times of danger that one is allowed to bring the menorah inside? The answer is, because you know what? The whole mitzvah to begin with wasn't specifically made that you have to light your menorah outside. The way the rabbis are sharing Kiddushalim and Sosa is the Ivanu Hadak Ner Shal Chanukah. To light a candle for Chanukah. That's the mitzvah. To do it at your door, it's an added element of Pursumei Nisa. But the mitzvah itself is to light a candle. And thus, if one's challenged, one isn't able to light that menorah outside, then one would be able to bring it inside. Because that's still fulfilling the Ikar Mitzvah. Beautiful pshat. I saw similarly, Aruch HaShulchan says, that might also be the reason if you stand like this. Nowadays, he deals with why nowadays do we light indoors? It says because it is windy. Where Jews live, this time of year is cold, it's windy. So yeah, one could light indoors for the wind too, even if we're not afraid of Shas Sakana itself, of Goyim shepherding us or challenging us, one can light inside. Especially if you understand this concept, that the mitzvah itself was made to light a menorah. We're not massively changing the mitzvah if we go light it indoors. And I'll add one more step. I found that Rav Moshe Feinstein takes this position. Of Moshe is in the back of your sheets, in the bottom. If you look on the top of the second column, towards the end, he says, "El takana ha'isa di'efarsa maneis kamosha efsher." The mitzvah was for you to spread the miracle of Chanukah as much as you can. U'v'shasa sakana di'efsher l'farsa maneis. It's enough, you just put on your table. He says later, he quotes from the Ritva, which we mentioned. So according to Rav Moshe, according to the Ritva, according to this idea, it's a simple answer. Shasakana, you could just go with the basic din that want the mitzvah is to light a candle. But the question I'm going to pose is what happens if you don't say that? If you would argue, no, the mitzvah itself, Pirsumei Nisa is not like an added din. That is what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to spread the nes. Where are we supposed to spread the nes? Outside. So then how could we make up, oh, Shasakana, bring it inside? How can you do that? Yes.
Don't we know that we can have Pursumei Nisa inside from two places I can bring? One is Purim with Megillah, okay. And the other one would be at Seder.
Okay, interesting. At Seder, they don't usually use the language of Pursumei Nisa. There is, Ber Halacha talks about Tal Kosos, and he might actually give with the Rashba, Tak, I remember. But yes.
But could it be that the idea of Pursumei Nisa is also just like you're going out to, let's say, the non-affiliated in Kiruv Rechokim, Pursumei Nisa could also be for ourselves, Kiruv Krovim, that we're reinforcing amongst ourselves what the mitzvah, the miracle was.
Okay, so that's a very nice idea. And we do practically, I think Rav Moshe would agree with you. Rav Moshe would say nowadays, main Pursumei Nisa are for the B'nai Bayis, are for the people in one's home. Right? It's the best way to be mechanach, to educate the children, the beautiful miracle, the beautiful holiday we have here of Chanukah. You're lighting menorah for your family. Fact, I just got to ask one on top of the mind. You know, and this is Befer Shirach, there's a Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on this. That he asked, what should we do? You know, nice. Bacher just got married this year, Shana Rishona. So he asked, oh, this year I'm lighting for my wife too. What happens? I get home earlier than she does. I get home closer to the Zman. Should I light the Zmano? Or should I wait for her to come home? So I gave him a good Shalom Bias lesson. I said,
you better wait.
Right? As a Rebbe, I consider myself responsible, not just when you leave, you know, yeshiva. But I told him, I think you should wait for your wife. Especially Shana Rishona. She's all excited.
You want a first anniversary.
Right. Yes. So, I didn't have to give him any threats. I told him, I think it'll be nice. I think it's Kedai. Nowadays, also the whole shir, Rabbi Sharfen has a lot of shirim on Hanukkah. You can check. Even this topic, I only found out this morning, too bad, that he touches on, talks about this topic. But he has a lot about the shir, what time to light. You know, the shir expands. In the olden days, Achetichel Regelman Ashuk, that once it got dark at night, people didn't walk the streets. It's a different world today, right? Especially in New York, boy. Right? The restaurants are knocking way past 11 o'clock at night. Right? Main Street's still going, right? So, Lamaisa, yeah, in such a scenario, wife's coming home late, you could wait for her and light. So, the main Pursume Nisa today might be for one's home, and maybe that could be an explanation, but that simply fits if you say that the mitzvah itself wasn't misakin to do it outside. The mitzvah is to light. And therefore, everything, so as much as Pursume Nisa as you could. But of course, if you could do more Pursume Nisa, even if you tell me the Iker mitzvah is for one's home, I do say if you could do more Pursume Nisa, you could do it in a better way, more people could see it. Matov Manayim, it's greater. Yes?
I have a tendency to be the maple with regards to Kiruv.
Okay.
The room, but we're math missionaries. Hanukkah is a perfect opportunity to have people already organized to come to their home for something where it might be difficult for Shabbos and things are difficult.
Very nice idea.
8 nights of organized.
Right.
You can bring people in for
say over what he's saying. It's a very nice concept. Part of Pursume Nisa, right, not just spreading the yontif of Hanukkah, but the ideal of Hanukkah. And it's a very good idea, right? Thank you, Project Inspire. But really, you know, a lot of times, and there are halakhic issues about it too, inviting non-religious Jews to one's home for Shabbos could be tricky. And not everyone's able to host guests over a weekend, some time. But to make a Hanukkah party and invite associates, family, especially people who are not so well educated about Hanukkah, is a wonderful, wonderful meaning of Pursume Nisa. It's such a great idea. Really, really is. 2 points for that one. Right? That was a great idea. But getting back to my question, if you say the mitzvah was misakin, that the kanu was made for you to light it outside, how do we understand shasakana, you could bring it inside? How do we change the mitzvah? And I found a couple answers to this. The Briska Rav, Velvel Soloveitchik, the Grizz. So they bring from him, in the bottom of your sheets, the first side, that he in fact says that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah to light shasakana by your table is a new takana. Chazal originally misakin to light by your doorpost. But shasakana, they made a new din. A new takana. They actually changed the mitzvah. We make an addendum. If you can't do it this way, do it this way. They made a backup plan. Which is quite fascinating. We don't really have this by most other mitzvahs. But the way the Brisker Rav is understanding that the mitzvah of Ner how are we able to light shasakana inside? Special new takana. So much so, it has a very interesting application. We said, like we talked about before from the Aruch HaShulchan and others, that the application of the shasakana din, again, doesn't just apply to danger from Goyim. We talked about from the Darkei Moshe, it applies to being stolen, fear of being stolen. also applies to wind issues, right? The wind's going to take out your menorah. So let's say it's a very, very windy day. You normally light outside. Very, very windy day. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, they all lit outside. But it was very windy. What did Brisker Rav do? Since it's windy, he went and lit inside. But then later, that night, still within the Zman of Hadlaka, the wind subsided, the storm passed. The story in print has it that the Brisker Rav went back outside and lit menorah again, seemingly even with the bracha. What's the understanding for this? Very interesting. Granted, the rabbis made a new takana, shasakana. You could light indoors, but that doesn't take away from the original din. The original din is to light outside. So I was only able to be mekayim the backup din. But what about the first din? Now it subsides. So now the chiyuv comes back. It sounds like a real brisker halacha. Right? It sounds like a good riddle. Why did the brisker rav light menorah twice? One night. Right here is the story. He lit indoors because of Shah Sakana, because of the wind. But once the wind subsided, the brisker rav went back outside, lit again with the bracha. Because that's the understanding. There's one mitzvah, and then they made a second mitzvah. Now, even that concept, you know, why would they make a second mitzvah? We don't have this other places. I'm sure you have to give what you were talking about before. That the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is so important in Pirsumei Nisa, such a chaviv. The Rambam's Lashon is, it's a mitzvah chaviv ad ma'od. It's a beautiful mitzvah, a beloved mitzvah. Look how far the rabbis went for Jews to keep the mitzvah. They made a separate new mitzvah just for Jews to be able to be mekayim in all scenarios, in all situations. They spent time. It's quite interesting.
That puts an additional financial burden.
Right. Interesting point. You're right. It would require
more oil.
But then again, you know, for mitzvahs, we do spend money, and, you know, there are extra financial burdens. The whole mitzvah itself, the question was raised, yeah, that means you have to spend more money to light a second time. But if you look at it, the whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the basic mitzvah is just one candle per night. That means all you need is 8 candles for the whole Chanukah. There's a din, mahadrin, to be mosif aholich, to add candles each night. There's a din on top of that, which the Ashkenazim, the Ramah does, and not just to have one menorah, but they have many menorahs. These were not made by the Judaica stores. These takanas are made back to the days of the Gemara, and there's basis for it, 100%. Also, the idea to upgrade from candles to oil is also basis, again, not just by the Jewish merchants.
They must have been made before Shammai and Hillel's Machlokas then. 8 candles, 8 nights, 7, 6, 5, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, that's the basis. Yeah, sure.
That's an old...
It's an old song.
Form of knowledge.
Now, I'll tell you, just as an aside, there is another version of what the Brisker Rav held. This is tricky in the world of Brisk. You know, everyone's watching what the Brisker Rav did, and there's differing accounts. There's another account from his son, Rav Meir, that he said from his father that the reason why even nowadays people light indoors is because the new takana that they made of Shas Takana, Sakana, that lasts for generations. It doesn't change. Which is funny, because that seemingly doesn't fit with the idea that no, it's only, there are two simultaneous dinim. According to the first way we quoted the Brisker Rav, there are two simultaneous dinim. There's the ideal din to light outside, and there's a second din, a new takana they made, to light indoors, but they're simultaneously both there. So the moment that one goes away, the takana goes away, one would have to revert back and light outside. But we might say we don't do that. Let me end with 2 points. I found from Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, and sounds full circle, that Shmuel should be well, that he's following the path of his father. Somebody asked him, now Shmuel, we know in Israel everyone lights outside. But in America, come on. You know, Baruch Hashem, it's not Sasakana, a wonderful, wonderful country. Things are good. Why can't I light my menorah outside? No one's going to stop me. And in fact, I've seen in Jewish communities in New York, I've seen it here too, people lighting outside. So if someone asks Shmuel, why can't I do that? Halachically, no. There's basis. Maybe the guy was a brisker, according to the Shas HaKana goes off, so I have to light outside. So Shmuel responded, and I quote, if you're asking such a question, then you don't really understand the matzah of the environment of America. The matzah of the environment of Golos. We're in Golos. You think things are going great. Wow. Look how far the Jews have come. You don't get it. We are in Golos. I'm going to light outside. Everything's fine. Move to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the reason why we still light, Eretz Yisrael is not Shas HaKana. With all the challenges we have from the Arabs, 100% you can light outside in Eretz Yisrael. No one's shepherding Jews, Baruch Hashem, for lighting menorahs outside. But here in America, or here in any other Chutz La'aretz, different story. And if you don't realize that, Shmuel Kamenetsky says, you're missing something. Maisa, I'd like to end a famous story. We quoted it last year. Someone reminded me of it before we began today. You know, really, the Yontif of Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah, is such a beautiful Yontif. And it really shows us a message. And this is a beautiful message to share with Jews from all over. It's a message of the eternity of our Torah. Look how we just went through a whole share of how the rabbis thought about all scenarios and even changed, potentially, the nature of the mitzvah so that Jews should be able to keep it in all situations. And that's what stands through everything that going through us. We still light menorah. A couple years ago, it was revealed that beautiful picture, that poetic picture of someone lighting menorah in 1932 from their window just outside their Persume Nisa on the street, just across the street from a Nazi headquarters. 1932. And that little menorah standing in the window. I think the Nazis took over the world. In many, many ways, they eradicated a world, the Jewish world, which once was. But that particular menorah is still standing. That menorah still exists. And how beautifully that menorah stands in Israel. And it's there for people to see. That's a beautiful message of Chanukah. That's Persume Nisa. That's why the rabbis took such an extent. We got to figure out a way in all scenarios, in all circumstances. Shas HaKana. Let's figure out. Let's move the mitzvah inside. We have to keep this message of Chanukah alive. Bez Hashem, we should all be zocha to appreciate the mitzvah of Chanukah and have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.